Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former block off has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, this is going to shock everybody, but Frankie's on assignment. He's in Boston. I'm headed there later, and that's where we'll begin the conversation on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilquin, Charlie Marlowe with you. Chuck, how are you today, buddy?
I am great.
Let's get right to Kenny Albert, voice of the Stanley Cup Final on Westwood One, and that open that Frank has, there's some great moments. We might have to add Kenny and Pat Maroon's goal, I believe, from a Game 7. We've got a lot of additions we could do with these great Blues moments. Kenny, how much fun was the other night? I know you're impartial, but just the building itself, Game 4, Blues and Bruins.
Yeah, it was great. You know, the whole series has been a lot of fun. The two games in Boston, the two in St. Louis, each game has been, distinctively different. And can't wait for Game 5 and then Game 6 back in St. Louis on Sunday.
Kenny, are you surprised at all? And it seems like this is the case with the Blues all throughout the postseason, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum game to game. Right now it feels like the Blues had the momentum after the big win in Game 4. Do you think that can carry over to Thursday?
Probably not, only because whenever we speak to head coaches throughout the playoffs, not only in this round, and I've asked various coaches that question about momentum carrying over from one hockey postseason game to another, the answer is usually no. And I think even in this series now, you have the extra day between games. So for whatever reason, it does not seem to carry over. After game one, so many people around the hockey world were saying, oh, Bruins in 4 or 5. And then after game two, it was Blues in 6. After game three, it was back to Bruins in 5. And now, who knows? So the momentum does not seem to carry over. The Bruins had the edge in game one. Blues outplayed the Bruins in game two. And then the same pattern continued for games 3 and 4.
Well, and you call a lot of different sports. Does it seem unique to hockey? I mean, I feel like in baseball, a team might get on a run, and in football, they put together a winning streak. Maybe it doesn't compare where they're playing every other night, but is it unique to hockey?
I think in hockey, you know, if you guys remember when they used to play the best 3 out of 5 in the first round, you know, back in the 80s, and you had games on back-to-back nights, I think then the momentum seemed to carry over a little bit more because it was less than 24 hours later. But for whatever reason now, that does not seem to be the case.
I guess the biggest storyline, the health of Chara. I mean, he's got a broken jaw. Have they officially said he's out? What have you heard from Boston's end?
Right. As far as everything I've heard, they haven't officially said anything yet as far as Game 5. Joe Micheletti, my partner on Westwood One Radio, did speculate that it possibly would have been a broken jaw during Game 4 because he came back to the bench with the full shield, but it didn't appear as he was talking much and obviously never got back on the ice. Other players have come back pretty quickly. Derek Stepan in the 2014 playoffs with the Rangers suffered a broken jaw. He wasn't out too long. Chara certainly seems to have a high pain threshold, so we'll see. Other times players miss 4 to 6 weeks in hockey with a broken jaw, so who knows? And Grizzlick up in the air as well after suffering the injury in Game 2, so the Bruins really could be down to their 8th and 9th defensemen. They're also missing Kevin Miller. He hasn't played all playoffs. If you go back to the regular season with a healthy top 6, Miller, Grizzlick, and Chara are all in the lineup.
Yeah, so Kenny, if Chara is out, how do you think the Blues, or how do you think the Bruins are affected? They're a guy who's their captain, logging 22 minutes of ice time in the postseason. I mean, that's a hard guy to replace.
Yeah, it certainly is. I would guess Steven Kampfer might be the next man up. He's a veteran. He played, scored a big goal during the Carolina series. But it is a big loss with a guy with the size and strength and work ethic of a Zdeno Chara. But in hockey, guys get hurt, and it's always the next man up mentality. The Bruins have had other key players miss time during these playoffs, and like I said, Camper stepped in one game, scored a goal. You see some of the forwards who have come into the lineup, and they don't seem to miss a beat. So the same thing with the Blues, right? When Fabry was taken out of the lineup, Sammy Blais comes in, scores a goal. Sundqvist, the suspension after game two. Sanford comes in and has two terrific games. So that next man up mentality in hockey, the guy that comes in oftentimes seems to have a big game.
And the point was made about the Blues. They're not leaning necessarily. I mean, Tarasenko's been great, but Schwartz carried him for a while, and then he gets a little quiet. And then O'Reilly, who had been a little quiet goal-scoring-wise, jumps up. I mean, I guess if you're going to have a winning hockey team, that almost has to happen because it's rare, I think, that one guy is going to stay hot for an entire playoff run.
Right. You need contributions from throughout the lineup. In the second round, the Maroon, Bozak, Thomas line seemed to be the best unit at times for the Blues. Then in the third round, Tarasenko kind of took over. Shen, big goal in Game 7 in the conference final, and then opens the scoring in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup final. O'Reilly with the two goals. Schwartz with the two hat tricks earlier. So big goals from defensemen, two from Bortuzzo, one from Gunderson in overtime. Bruins, the same thing. They've had 20 different players score during these playoffs. The fourth lines for both teams have been outstanding. So you really need everybody. Guys won't all be going at the same time. Players have slumps, and a guy like O'Reilly, he hadn't scored in a while. I think it was 8 games, but he does so many little things, wins faceoffs. We saw the same thing from Shen when he went 13 games without a goal earlier in the playoffs. He was still doing so many other positive things to be effective.
I know you got to run, Kenny, but there's something about you and St. Louis and overtime. We had, of course, the Maroon game. We had the Gunderson game, and you even called a Rams Seattle game that Sean McDonald won it in overtime. And I'm like, I'm telling you, they had that used to be if Buchergras was in the building or whatever. I'm like, I'm telling you, when Kenny Albert is on a St. Louis call, there's a chance we're looking at overtime. Just
also had the Rams Seattle game with the flub kick, you know, the onside kick by Seattle at the beginning of overtime when Pete Carroll said that that wasn't the plan. And 2010 at Busch, 20 innings, Cardinals and Mets.
So when Kenny walks in the building, pack an extra lunch, okay? It could be a late night for a St. Louis team. And here's the very last question. You're a New York guy. That's where you live. When people go to New York and Boston, do you take the train? I've always heard that. Or do you hop on a plane?
I usually hop on a plane. I know some people do take the train. I've driven on occasion. It's about a four-hour drive. It's about a four-hour train ride. The flight's about an hour, 40 minutes once you're up in the air. So we'll be flying there for Game 5. Also take the train to Washington, Philadelphia sometimes. So living in the Northeast, you do have the added benefit of not having to get on a plane.
Oh, good. I was curious, and it was insider talk, because somebody at work said, when we planned this whole thing out, they said, well, you could just fly into New York and take the train to Boston. I thought, that doesn't sound real convenient. I don't think that's a good travel plan.
That would be a bit of a long day.
All right, Kenny, we'll see you in Boston. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Kenny Albert, Westwood One with the call alongside Joe Micheletti, St. Louis's own Joe Micheletti.
I remember that baseball game he's talking about because, of course, Kenny Albert with Fox. We always have a lot of those Saturday Fox games. Used to have all the red zones. Those games used to be at 3 o'clock. Remember, all the players used to complain about the shadows, Shadowgate. And I remember that 20-inning baseball game back in 2010, he said.
And in 2004, I think it was for a long time, the last time the Rams beat Seattle. And maybe they beat them that playoff year, too.
Wow.
But I think they beat them 3 times that year and then didn't. For like 10 years.
We didn't beat a lot of teams in the 10 years that
but
followed,
admittedly. We'll fly out on Tuesday.
I find it funny. Excuse me. Kenny's a very smart guy, and he needs to promote this series when he's on the radio. Give people to watch or listen, get involved in the NHL. Him saying, because one of the games was a 7-2 final. So you can't say every game was close. So he said every game has been distinctively different.
Yeah. That's smart.
I thought that was smart word choice by Kenny.
Distinctively different. And I know what Charlie wanted to ask, do any of these games kind of rub off on another because there's a similarity?
I have a rejoin song.
Is
there,
okay.
With that involved.
We'll get to that.
What does rub off mean?
That got a lot more play.
Thank you.
After
what,
the fact.
What are you people doing out there, you Barstool people, you blogger people, Bleacher Report? This is what you do. You find funny clips and you make them go viral. I had not even heard that clip until yesterday on the radio.
That's
and
what
I
we
was
do.
At the game yesterday. I was doing post game, and I never heard that clip.
Would you have played the clip had you seen it on Fox?
No, but I would have laughed a lot.
Thank you for support. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank's going to check in at about 10:30, 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to the commish, Rick Hummel, a little baseball talk this weekend. How about Sunday night? Cards Cubs at Wrigley.
Genesis Cabrera.
Blues Bruins. In St. Louis, and yeah, they don't exactly have a starting pitcher. Feels kind of like a Mike Myers night, doesn't it?
Not if they call the game tonight. If they, well, guys, it's going to rain. Let's call it. We can save those
bang the game a little bit early
Sunday.
The biggest game, of course, is Saturday because it's on Fox 2. And we've got Charlie. We have an opportunity to do a pregame show, a Red Zone at 5:30 on Saturday. File that away. That's just a little housekeeping in case you didn't know. I'll see you at work on Saturday, buddy.
Let me ask you this. I didn't know I was going to be working Saturday and Sunday. But you know what? This is what you get in the business for.
Yeah.
Weekends like this.
Do you?
Think about this. On Sunday, the Blues could win the Stanley Cup. I know that's maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves here because you have to win the next two. But in the next week, the Blues could win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. Just think about that when I say that. That's a huge moment.
I'm afraid to think about that. It would be a huge moment. Just don't think about it.
Okay.
If you think about it, you jinx it, right? Does it work like that?
Thank you for the support.
Coos again at 10:30 checking in with us. Bomarito brings you the content of this show, the Bomarito Automotive Group. It's real simple. Bomarito.com is where you can go for more information. I think the anticipation level now, because you have the extra day where it was every other day. I love the every other day. And we've always made fun of the NBA for their scheduling, right, where they're there was a game on a Tuesday, one of the Rockets series this year. They went from Tuesday to Saturday. It might have been Golden State. I don't remember. You could probably fly home as a team and sleep in your own bed for a few days and then fly back. But now this Stanley Cup final scheduling is a little bit reminiscent of NBA. So you have to wait a little longer and just it's great for the brand, I think, for the Blues brand because everybody talks about it for an extra day, the hype, but God, I kind of wish they were playing tonight.
Yeah, and I think for fans and for TV, we love the every other day. And as we were going through the first three rounds, that made a lot of sense, and it was kind of fun. It was basically like your life was game day or off day, game day or off day. I'm thinking, though, like what if the Sharks would have won and beat the Blues? I mean, if you're having to fly back and forth for a 2-2, 1-1-1 series, if you're the players and you have to fly how many times – from Boston to San Jose. I mean, that's potentially a lot of travel. That's where if I'm a player, I would love to have the extra day off. Now, obviously, St. Louis to Boston, not as big of a deal. But still, I'm sure when you've played how many playoff games now? 23, 24 games. So 100-plus games total, plus exhibition games. I'm guessing these players are appreciating an extra day.
I think you're focusing on the wrong people, Chuck. What about the media covering this series?
That are being offered flights to New York to get the bus. I heard that in a meeting that I was actually attending, and I said, I don't think that sounds, because I've always heard, oh, people just take the train from Boston to New York. I'm like, is it an hour? Is it an hour and a half? I'm like,
it's kind of a distance between the two cities. It's not,
yeah, it's not quite like maybe Philly.
It's not Chicago or Milwaukee where right. It's, they're right next to each other.
So I just
much.
Said, I think with all the equipment we have, that's probably going to be true. You'd hate to lose equipment station, right? Let's not do that.
Get from the airport to the train station. There is some issues.
Maybe we
there.
Could just drive.
So how about this? Martin, when he was asking Kenny Albert, he wasn't really trying to get Kenny Albert's opinion. That was a logistical travel question,
100%.
Actually, for Fox 2.
No, 100%. I wanted to know. No, 100%. I wanted to know how common it was for people in New York to take the train, to hop on the train. And then the fact that it was offered up to me, again, an opportunity, Charlie. These are all opportunities.
Are you staying on a boat again?
That was going to be my follow-up.
No, we're staying, I think, actually. They again
a
went
trailer,
the,
RV. Where else can you stay that's not a hotel?
I think we're in an apartment somewhere in Boston.
You're staying in
going the
you're staying with Sully.
It's the
his spare bedroom.
Sully.
No, it's not, hey, I got an open room.
The East Coast, don't they rent out like bathrooms? Like in New York, you can use somebody's like there's no public bathrooms.
The guy in this room has rented out his bathroom before and got evicted for it.
Oh my God, that's kind of a dark chapter.
That was Doug's fault, right?
That was KLV got Plasy evicted.
But you made some money off that, right?
Not that year.
Did you charge differently for the types of bathroom visit?
I tended not to ask, but I think that year that I got kicked out, I was actually in spring training or doing the traveling while Mardi Gras was going on. So I really got evicted without actually being in the state in which the event was being held.
Your Honor, I was not even in the state when they were using my crap, okay?
Yeah, if they listened to the segment, which was about 2 minutes that Friday, it was so, you know, funny and kidding.
It was worth it.
Oh, certainly worth it. The package was great.
How much did you make? You make money off it?
I made a few hundred, like doing it in the past. Yeah.
Chuck's gonna be all over this. But in New York, that's a thing.
honey, let's slum our
millionaire.
I think there's an app in New York where if you're looking, not an app if you have to crap, but if they're in New York,
the crap app.
I do love the crap.
The iToilet, that was in Curb Your Enthusiasm. The iToilet, that was
in
the
Boston. We're staying at it's a very nice apartment that apparently was on VRBO, but we are not on the boat. And I think there was a point where the boat, it was kind of fun, it was unique, and then you got to move on. It had kind of a morning show vibe.
No.
You disagree? You like to disagree?
I think I kind of liked the boat. We had a nice sign. You had beautiful signage. It was a cool backdrop. But then you said it was really cold. And then you also said you got your sea legs. I mean, these players are going through playing hockey games. You're trying to do reports with sea legs?
No, I talked to them about it, too. Like, yeah, how are you feeling? No, I know. I'm going through kind of what you're going through, too. No, I mean, I didn't take a puck to the face. But, you know, you drink six beers and you sleep on a boat. That morning skate, you get a little wobbly, okay? So we're all kind of grinding through this together.
Not to change the subject.
But you probably should.
But I will. And speaking of Zdeno Chara. And look, hockey players are famously tough. If you Google anything about broken jaw in hockey players, usually you're not going to play a couple days later. Doesn't Zdeno Chara, though, 6'9", 21-year NHL vet, end of his career, the
played
captain.
Played with Craig Berube back in the
played
day.
Played with Coach Berube. Can't you see him honestly like putting on a Hannibal Lecter-type jaw mask and going out there with his jaw wired shut and playing hockey? I know that's crazy, but like, it wouldn't surprise me that much because it's the Stanley Cup final. This guy's at the end of his career. He's played for 20-plus years. I know he's likely out, but like, hockey players are crazily tough.
I think the desire is there, but it may just be
impossible.
It's not even just that you can protect the jaw. Can you imagine the immense pain? You have a broken jaw, and you're just walking to your car. You're like, oh, my God.
Think how much your jaw just moves naturally. Yeah.
And now you're going to play a violent game where they're hitting you. I just don't think you can do it. But you're right. I think his desire is going to be to play. It's a great storyline if he does. The Willis Reed kind of limping out there.
He's got to lose, though.
But getting hit one time with a broken jaw, I don't care how many meds they give you. Ooh.
We need to ask a former player about this because – when you see what happened to Chara and the shot, the puck is deflected there off the stick, goes right up and smokes him in the mouth. Vince Dunn recently with his injury there as well. You just wonder why those players wouldn't want to have protection there. And again, I know hockey players are very, very tough, but with all the broken teeth and seeing significant players missing time in the postseason, you just wonder why they wouldn't want that protection. You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it that they can't see if they have the full cage there? I just wonder.
Is it something new? They just don't want to have to get used to something new?
Yeah, I get that.
Discomfort, you know, yeah. Like it's
but wouldn't you,
inconvenience.
Wouldn't you rather have that than potentially a broken jaw? That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say, oh, these guys aren't tough and all that. I get it. Back in the day, they played with no helmets. I'm just wondering as a player if I'm like, okay, this is kind of uncomfortable. Maybe it fogs up down there, whatever. I think I would probably trade that to not have my jaw broke.
It's got to be a wide an awakening moment for how old you are when the interim head coach of the opposing team that you're facing in the Stanley Cup final
was a teammate
of yours.
And that coach is like 54.
It's like Adam Wainwright when he's on the mound facing Fernando Tatis Jr. Probably thinking, I faced his dad.
Speaking of hits, collisions, can I do a mea culpa?
Sure.
Because we had Bernie Federico on the show. And during the game, remember, Tarasenko took a hit to the head, drew a two-minute penalty. And I asked Bernie because Sundquist, the whole thing was about a hit to the head, and they reviewed it. And our photographer, Dave Sharp, said, dude, hit to the head, that's got to be looked at by the league. So I asked Federico about it. He said, nah, I don't think there's anything there. It was a two-minute penalty. That's about right. I have since seen the replay.
Embellishment.
And it was not exactly the violent hit that I thought it was. So I'm just wondering, if Bernie Federico was sitting in his Boston hotel yesterday, was like, what an idiot. What a terrible question. Dan, that guy's an idiot.
But if
what
you're kind of sitting at the game,
that?
Which
it
we
looked
were,
like a, it, did.
It looked very violent. But then you see the replay, and Vladdy sold the hell out of that one.
He did.
He bought that penalty because
yeah,
it did not look like he got
back.
Hit at all.
Sell it back. Stop buying penalties.
Stop. Sell it back.
Sell them
look,
all back.
Sell
don't
it back.
Don't commit penalties and don't force penalties.
Okay.
That's the Blues memo for the next
five
three
on five.
Games. 5-on-5 the whole way.
Listen, I get that. But when we complain if the other team embellishes, which we did with our boy Lindell in the Dallas series, if you're a Blues fan, and look, I get it. You love Vladdy, but you have to admit that he totally earned that penalty with an embellishment there. And hockey players always say, we don't want to be soccer. We don't want to be flopping. We don't want to be fake injury. I get it. Hey, so it's the Stanley Cup final, and you want to get your penalty. Although if you're Blues, maybe you actually don't. Vladdy did not exactly look great there.
We do have a bit of hockey news this morning. The centerpiece of the Braden Schenn trade, Jori Lehterä, has signed with SKA St. Petersburg.
So he is not.
He's in the KHL.
He's not in prison.
No.
He's
well,
not
yet,
in jail.
Not yet in jail and no longer in the NHL.
He was just referenced on this here program.
Yesterday.
By the way, we have exclusive audio, too. After Tarasenko drew the penalty, he looked at the referee and said, thank you for support.
And also, happy birthday.
All right, when we come back, it's live to Boston with Frank Cusumano, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Hollywood Casino, great place to watch all the hockey action. The 99 Hops House, you have the great steak place, newly renovated hotel rooms. I think Chuck
Final
Buttons,
Cut Steakhouse is what that
Chuck Schmuck stayed out there.
They had a great time. Dave Matthews stayed at the casino out there. Great restaurants, great gaming, fantastic night.
Good use of the word gaming. Just kind
you.
Of an overall.
It's not gambling.
It's gaming.
It's sport. It's gaming.
It's the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll go live to Boston when we come back.